Matthew chapter 13, we're going to talk about Jesus, the speaker of parables. I want to read you several scriptures because the way the Lord Jesus speaks to us is prophesied of Him in the Old Testament, and I want us to see how He fulfilled it in all the things that are written. So let's read about it first in Matthew chapter 13. And if the baby starts making noise, we'll let Steve take care of him. Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 34. All these things spake Jesus in parables unto the multitudes. And without a parable spake he nothing unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. Here is a remarkable thing. He speaks to them in parables, and without a parable, he spake nothing unto them. So now let's look in Psalm 78 to see the prophecy that told us that our Savior was going to be a speaker of parables. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He hath done. So please notice that it says in verse 2, and this is a prophecy, somebody other than the psalmist is going to open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. So this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus. Now turn back to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Here is something similar. And it says in verse 1, Hear this, all ye peoples. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Notice two steps. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark seeing upon the heart. First, he hears from God, and then, having told him what he wants him to say and explained it to him, then he opens his mouth in a parable. All right. Proverbs. Turn to the next book, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and let's read two other things about parables. Chapter 1, verse 5. That the wise man may hear and increase in learning, and that the man of understanding may attain unto sound counsels, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, chapter 26, because this I've seen as I've listened to other preachers. 26, and look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. the legs of the lame hang loose. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. So that's all we'll read for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful how fascinating the Word of God can be. Let us know that we've been to school and we've heard some teachers bring the lesson before us, and it was so boring, so lacking in anything that was interesting. And yet, our God, we have heard your Son speak, and our ears have been thrilled, and we have been fascinated with the words that proceeded out of his mouth. We are thankful that we learn of the one who told him just what to say and how to say it. And we desire to know a little bit about this speaker of parables. So help us to that end this day. We thank you for all that are here. Let us know that at times we have gone to a place that serves food and we've been so disappointed. But our Father, this is a place where the food of the Word of God is served. And let us not be disappointed this day. But let us hear nourishing words. Let us hear words that will strengthen our souls and that will teach us the way of eternal life. Bless us to this end, we pray. And our God, we would not forget our nations. Let us know that we would not tell you who should be our president, but we would desire that one would be there who had a degree of morality and integrity, who would want to preserve life, who would, our Father, be in harmony with the things set forth in thy word. Let us know that no man is perfectly in harmony, but our God, in your grace, we pray that your will shall prevail and you shall give us not what we deserve. O God, let us know that this has happened to us, but we pray that in grace you will give us something that will be a blessing to our souls. So look upon us as individuals here this morning and as our nation is seeking to determine who shall rule over them the next 4 years. And our Father, we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I could have read to you another scripture in the book of Ezekiel, because Ezekiel, as well as Isaiah and Hosea, and ever so many of the prophets and teachers of the Word of God in the Old Testament, are those that spoke in parables. I have a question for you. If God were to speak to you, what do you think his voice would sound like? If you've ever seen any of these religious movies and suddenly you hear this mysterious voice, this strange sound coming out of heaven, that is what they're trying to tell you that the voice of God would sound like. But what is so remarkable is this, that that's not what God's voice sounds like at all. The voice of God, when he speaks to man, speaks in so natural a way that you cannot tell it from the voice of your father or the guardian that takes care of you. I can illustrate that. In the Old Testament, there was a little boy named Samuel whose mother had given him to the Lord. And when he was a very little child, he was staying with the old high priest who was in his 90s. And he had a little bedroom of his own. And the high priest was in another room nearby. And God decided to speak to the children of Israel. But this time, he was going to speak first to someone. And then the one to whom he spoke was going to give that message to the children of Israel. And God decided to speak to little Samuel. And so when God spoke, he said, Samuel, Samuel. And certainly, when God spoke, everybody would know what the voice of God would sound like. But what happens is this, that when God said, Samuel, Samuel, it sounded so much like the voice of Eli, the high priest, that he ran into the high priest's room and he said, you called me, I'm here, what do you want? And the old high priest, like old men at times, have trouble getting to sleep. He said, I didn't call your son. He said, go back to sleep. And so he went and tried to go back to sleep. And then, again, God said from heaven, Samuel, Samuel. And the little boy jumped up again and ran in and said to the high priest, you called me. He said, I did not call you. Go back to bed. And the third time, God said, Samuel, Samuel. And he went and he said, you did call me. And he said, I didn't call you, but it's God that's speaking to you. What you have to do is this. The next time God calls you, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now think of that. That here is this little boy, and Almighty God is speaking to him, and he speaks to him in such a way that he cannot tell the difference in the voice of God and the voice of the high priest Eli. And so that is why the voice of God, when he speaks to us today, it would not be something strange and supernatural and mysterious, but it can be illustrated again when God decided to speak to Elijah in the Old Testament. Elijah was in a cave, and then God had him to be on the mount. And God said, I'm going to manifest myself to Elijah. And first, there was a great wind that was so powerful that it rent the rocks. And it said God wasn't in that wind. And then it said there was an earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, and God wasn't in the fire. And then it said there was a still, small voice. And God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Isn't that remarkable? We have two illustrations about God speaking, and when he speaks, it's never, in these instances, when he's speaking to people in ordinary ways, it's not in a way that is distinguishable from the voice of an ordinary man that you've heard speak to you before. And that is an encouragement and at the same time a challenge, because it may be that God, through his servant today, is speaking to you, and you say, this is nothing supernatural. This isn't the voice of God. It's just the voice of a man. Well, that's what Samuel thought. Little Samuel heard God speaking to him, and he thought it was the voice of a man. And at times, it may be this way. And this is something that is startling, that at times, God speaks, and the man that is speaking for God is unaware that God is using him, and God is the one who puts the words in his mouth, and he speaks those words, and he's not aware of it. There was a high priest in the New Testament. There were two in Christ's days, Annas and Caiaphas, and when Christ was going to be victorious, the high priest spoke words about the necessity of Christ dying, that the whole nation perish not. And it said, this he said not of himself, but being high priest that year, he spoke as God's representative. Now this is a remarkable thing, that at times a preacher may get up and speak to you, and he does not realize it, but he is the voice of God. I've heard many preachers in my lifetime, but on occasion, I've heard those that seemingly knew little about the Bible, but they said something and explained something to me that none of the wise preachers I had heard before explained to me. And I said, how did that happen? And so, you hear the voice of God when someone purposely trying to tell you what God wants you to know says, or at the same time, he is just speaking words, and he doesn't realize what he's saying, but he is the mouthpiece of God. But in the case of the Lord Jesus, he always knew what he was saying, and he always spoke precisely the words that his Father wanted him to speak. That's why I read to you in Psalm 49. When someone speaks a parable, the purpose is to make known to you something deep, something that you cannot grasp of yourself, but you need it explained, and this person speaks a parable to explain things to you. But the psalmist in Psalm 49 honestly says this. He said, I will incline my ear unto a parable. Now that's the man of God you want to listen to. He says, I will incline my ear unto a parable. Because he turns his ear to God and says, Lord, you explain to me. You instruct me. And then I shall be able to instruct others. And that's what the psalmist in Psalm 49 says. He says, I will incline my ear unto a parable. And then he says, I will speak things that are essential for the goodness of man. Then I will open the deep mysteries of old. So the only man who has a right to speak to you in the name of God is one to whom first God has spoken. And it was so with the psalmist. It was so with Isaiah. It was so with Hosea. But at the same time, most of all, it was so with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some, and it was just brought out this morning, there are some who have spoken for God, like Peter. When Peter said, the Savior asked, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And so here is Peter telling Christ the answer that he asked. Whom do you say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said, the Father revealed that to you. And shortly after that, the Lord Jesus said, I have to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. That's the way sinners are going to be saved. And Peter said, Lord, be it far from thee. This shall never happen to you. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And here is Peter, and with that same voice that God had explained to him, confessing Christ as his son, now Satan is suggesting things to him, and he's not the voice of God, but he's the voice of Satan. And that is why no matter how much you trust a man, when he speaks, you go and read the Bible. And you see if what he says is in the Bible. This was illustrated when a young man was taken by his girlfriend to hear a preacher at a church that he wasn't accustomed to going to. And even though he wasn't a strong, outward professed Christian, when he heard it, he said, that's nothing that you could hear if you went to the church where I used to go. And so here was one who heard a person speak, and even though he wasn't a professed child of God, he said, I know that that's not right. That isn't the truth of God. So this is why, as one girl told me, she said, I want some messages because I'm listening and there are so many voices out there. You can turn on television, you can turn on the radio, and you can hear almost any kind of religious speech that you want. You can have Pentecostal, you can have Roman Catholic, you can have Protestant, you can have Evangelical, you can get most any kind you want. Now, whom are we to believe? So, what we have to do is to listen, and I assure you that God still is speaking today, but Satan also is speaking. And what you have to do is to listen, and as the Bereans, you go home and you search the scriptures daily whether these things are so. Now, some people that are God's spokesmen delight to preach the word, the light to tell you what God wants you to know. But the sad thing is this, that some hate to tell you what God wants you to know, and some are embarrassed in telling you what God wants you to know, the way that God wants you to be told. Let me tell you about Jonah. God said, Jonah, I want you to go and preach to Nineveh and say, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And Jonah so hated that message from God that he got on a ship and was fleeing to Tarshish. Why? Because here was a message of mercy for the enemies of the children of Israel. And Jonah did not want to preach that message. And so he fled from the face of God. Now, here is Ezekiel, one of the hardest prophets in the Old Testament to read and understand. And God said, I want you to go and speak to the children of Israel, and I want you to tell them the truth that I'm telling you in a parable. And so Ezekiel went and he spoke to the children in parables. And then when he did, the children of Israel spoke to one another and said, why, this man is a speaker of parables. And it upset Ezekiel because he didn't want to be known as a speaker in parables. It's like this. Here is an eloquent man that can stand and give discourses in a scholarly way. And here is another man that speaks in a humble, down-to-earth way to speak in parables. And God says, I want you to speak in parables. But Lord, I can be an eloquent man. Why, I can impress them with my knowledge, my use of speech. God said, I want you to speak in parables. And so when Ezekiel heard the people saying to one another, what, this man is a speaker in parables. Ezekiel said, Lord, they are talking about me. They are saying that I'm one that speaks to them in parables. I can think of no greater compliment. However, I may want to speak to you. If I were the mouthpiece of God, whether it were in eloquence or whether it were in simplicity, and I knew that I made known to you the mind of God, my soul would be thrilled. But there are some, just like Jonah, who say, I do not want to give them your message. And there are some who say, I do not want to give them your message the way you want me to give it to them. But now, this is what is so glorious about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you think of anyone who was more brilliant, just humanly speaking, than the Lord Jesus, who had greater wisdom, who could have impressed the world with an explanation of things in a way that would have overpowered them? But the Father said, no, my son. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to speak to them in parables, because it's been prophesied of you, I will open my mouth in a parable. And just as the psalmist did, so that's what I want you to do. It's been prophesied of you that you're going to speak to men in parables, and that is what I expect you to do. And the Lord Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And because of that, when you take up the Bible and read it, some parts of it you read, you would not be able to understand. But let me ask you this. Can you understand this? Here is the parable of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, two men went into the temple to pray. One of them was a self-righteous man, and another one was one who collected income tax. He said, and the one who was a collector of income tax prayed a prayer that was entirely different from the man who was a hypocrite, a Pharisee. And he said, the Pharisee said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. And he said, but the income tax collector said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can you understand what I've told you? You say, anybody can understand that. You're talking about a man that collects taxes and another man that's a religious hypocrite, a self-righteous man. Yes, I can understand. That is a parable. And that's one of the parables that the Lord Jesus spoke. Can you understand this? about a farmer that goes and sows seed, and when he sows seed, some birds come down and devour the seeds that he's sown? You say, yes, and I can remember still driving down the highway seeing fields that have been plowed and seed that are being sown, and I've seen birds waiting as those seeds that are being sown. The Lord Jesus spoke in a way of simplicity because that was the way that God wanted him to speak, in a way that man could understand, could receive the word of truth and become children of God. And so the Father said, I've told Isaiah and Ezekiel to speak in parables, and they did, but some of them did not want to, and I want you to speak in parables. And the Lord Jesus delighted to speak to men this way. And I rejoice that he did speak to us this way, because I have read some of the writings of learned men, and they are so abstruse that you read it, and when you get through reading it, you do not understand what they've said. But we had this read to us last night. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Think of that. He said also, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, can you understand when Jesus says, I'm the only way to heaven? You say, yes. He's truth, he's the way, yes. Can you understand when he says, I am the door? By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You say, I can understand all those things. Well, of course you can. And that is why Christ was the speaker of parables, and it says, without a parable spoke he not unto them. But a parable has two sides to it, because I can tell you a parable that Christ spoke, and in my library, I can take one book that explains it, and it will explain that parable in one way, and I'll read another book, and it will explain that parable in an entirely different way. Because Christ speaks in parables for a twofold purpose. For those that are wise and conceited, for that truth to be hidden from them, but for those that are meek and lowly, for them to be able to understand that parable. And that Christ told us that. And one man said, a parable is only spoken that men might understand. Christ said, no, I speak parables for a twofold purpose, that they might be understood, and also that it might conceal the truth from those that are wise and conceited in their hearts. He said, but unto you it is given to understand the parables of the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me give you an example. Here is the Savior, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that found a treasure in a field. And it says, he went and bought that field for the treasure that was in that field. Can you understand that? You say, yes. Here is a man, and he stumbles across a treasure, and he wants that treasure that's in the field, and so he goes and buys the field, and the treasure is his. What does it mean? It says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought that pearl. Do you know what that means? You think you do. You read one commentator, he will give you one interpretation. You read another commentator, and he will give you an entirely different interpretation. But I thank God for this. It said that the Lord Jesus, when he spoke parables, he explained all of those parables. He interpreted all that he said in parables to his disciples. And so we can rejoice in that. And that is the reason that a man who says, I can get saved any time I want to, the Lord Jesus said, no. He said, to you it is given to understand the parables of the kingdom of heaven. And what happens is that there is an enemy, and Christ spoke this parable. He said, the kingdom of God is like unto a man who went and sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares in that field. And so here is Christ now speaking about somebody that's fighting against what he is doing, and he speaks that parable. And the disciples, when they hear it, say, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And the Lord Jesus had to explain to them. So you think you can understand it, and we do understand it better today because the Lord Jesus gave the explanation, and we read the explanation that he gave, and so we understand it a little bit anyway. But unless Christ gives you to understand those parables, you will be without ability to understand them or to see any significance to them. Because when he spoke this parable in John chapter 10, he spoke a parable the first time, and he spoke about the door and the doorkeeper and the ones being opened by that door. But then when he got through speaking, it said they didn't understand what he was talking about. And then he said afterward, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so at times, Christ would speak a parable, and if it were too difficult, he would speak it in a different way, and then people could understand it. So what we have to do is this, to acknowledge that without the help of God, we cannot understand the significance of a parable, the interpretation of a parable, and what it means to me as a sinner, or to me as a child of God. But if God does explain it to us, then we can say like the disciples did just before Christ went back to heaven. It says he spoke to them in dark sayings. And when he did, at times, they looked at one another. When he said, yet a little while I'm with you, and then another little while I'm away from you, and then after another little while I will come back again. They said, what does all this mean, this little while? We do not understand what you're talking about. And so finally the Lord Jesus said this. He said, I came out from the Father into the world. Again, I go out of the world back to my Father. They said, now we understand. How simple. But Christ, who gave the parable, if he does not give you enlightenment, it's like that which is so funny in the Old Testament. God is not ridiculing people that are lame in the legs, but if you've ever seen a man that's lame and he's trying to walk, it says in the book of Proverbs, he said, a proverb in the mouth of a fool is like the legs of a lame man. They can't walk. And I've heard people read a parable and a portion of the Word of God and try to explain it. And it's like a lame man trying to walk straight and get to his destination. It's a sad thing. If they would find out exactly what the Savior said concerning that parable and teach that, then they would walk uprightly and give a correct interpretation like this. Because the Lord Jesus, when he gives a parable, at times, he immediately gives you the explanation. For instance, the parable of the wheat and the tares. He said, the Son of Man soweth the good seed in his field. These are the sons of the kingdom. He said, the devil sows the tares. These are sons of the devil. Now you can understand. But even after Christ says that, you'll find people, if you read commentaries, they cannot understand what Christ is saying. So a parable can both enlighten or it can keep you confused, because the Bible says, hearing, they do not hear, and seeing, they do not see. So God had a twofold purpose in Christ speaking parables. For us who have an open ear and have been enabled of God, we can understand it, and it's beautiful, and it rejoices our hearts. But for others, they're kept completely in the dark, because this is what the Bible says about certain people. I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. So the Bible is so simple that if anybody wants to be saved, he can read the simplest parable and he can be saved. He can understand it. And yet, the simplicity of the Word of God is of such a nature that a wise man can look at it and can stumble. And a man who wants to be a servant of God, unless he's enlightened of God, you listen to him speak, and it's as if you were looking at a man that is lame in his legs and he's walking. That's the way a parable comes out when he explains it. But thank God, the Savior spoke to us in parables, and he rejoiced, and he never spoke one word that his Father did not want him to speak. And just think for a moment some of the parables that he spoke, because they are so beautiful. He spoke at least 50 or more parables. But let me ask you, did you ever hear about a father that had two sons, what is known as the prodigal son, the son that went into the far country and spent a... Yes, I've heard that. Did you ever hear about the man who had 100 sheep and one of them went astray and the shepherd went out to find that sheep? You say, yes, I've heard that before. And you can go on and on and on. And you say, I've heard all of those parables. And you can remember them. Why? Because they are like stories. And Christ has spoken them in a way that is inspired of God so that men can be saved. And that's what he wants to happen to us today. So, may God open your eyes. May you understand the parables. And may you be a part of the kingdom of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we rejoice in the supernatural things as well as the natural things. You've created this earth, our Father, and you've given us the sun and the moon and the stars. But then there is a light above the light that is to be found in this world. And we pray, our God, that since your Son came and was a speaker in parables, that we shall understand those parables, that we shall rejoice. We are so glad, we who know Christ as the Good Shepherd, we are so glad that we know Christ as the one who laid down his life for the sheep. All of these things, we thank you. And so, our God, let us read those parables and let them be a part of our lives, because you sent forth your Son to be a speaker of parables. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.